Cool too, Jeff. All right, any of you guys have some really awesome camping stories? Anybody like to camp, first of all? Any campers in the house? Yeah! Camping's awesome! Some of the girls are like, ew, bugs, I don't like bugs. Camping's awesome! Go camping, it'll toughen you up. Puts hair on your chest. Hey, so listen, I need some helpers. I need someone to give me a story that, like, you went camping and it was the most miserable time of your life. I'm looking for Ryan Rigdon, but you graduated already. Ah, all right, you. All right, tell us. You gotta tell us loud, because...
Okay, one time I went camping, and it was raining, and the thing on my tent was open, and it was, like, flooded, like, this much. And we were gonna be camping...
Inside
like,
your tent?
Yeah.
Flooded that much?
Yeah.
So you're technically on a waterbed?
Yeah.
All right, go ahead. Keep going.
Like, we're gonna be camping for, like, 3 more days, and my mom made us stay there.
You stayed in the wet, everything. Did you dry your stuff? Did you wake up with, like, fungus and mold growing off your body? No, that's gross. Okay. That sounds like a pretty miserable trip. Anybody else have a, like, oh, Steven, what's up?
Yeah,
talk to us.
I went camping once, and it was 28 degrees, and ooh. I couldn't feel my feet.
I think I was on that trip with you, wasn't I? No.
No.
We were on some cold ones. 28 degrees, where were you?
Panhandle.
Oh, that's not even that, wow,
it's
okay. Yeah, it's pretty cold to go camping in. Holly, do you have any crazy camping stories? You're like... Uh-oh, Hades is pretty hot, too. Woo! It's PG in this room, Holly.
You have to stay in your tent or by the fire to avoid the mosquitoes. Because the mosquitoes were so bad. And so nobody wanted to be by the fire.
Because you're hot, but then there are mosquitoes. That's a pretty miserable place to be.
So
you were miserable and complaining. That's awesome. Manny?
Well, my freshman year, we had an ROTC thing, and we had to camp out there, and it was really cold and rainy. And, like, when we went to bed, I guess... the tent next to us tried to, like, move the tent closer to ours. So it was just pouring down rain. And when we wake up in the morning, first of all, like, my sleeping bag was like a sponge. And I just kind of walked open and it was, like, all wet. And I walk out and I go to open their tent. As soon as I open it, right, like, when I got to the bottom, water just started pouring out. And I was like,
what?
Was there, like, a hole in the roof or something?
That's awesome. I want to know why they moved their tent closer. They're kind of, like, creeping on you guys or something. Chance Rawls, I see a hand up back there, all pointing at you. Go ahead, tell yours. Yeah, tell yours.
I put an empty bottle of blood spray on fire, and I thought it was empty, but I guess it wasn't.
And you blew my tent up. Yeah, thanks for that. There is a whole lot more stories from that. That you guys, you ended up, we were on an island, right? You guys ended up sleeping on a car, in a car, like in a 7-Eleven parking lot somewhere, because the bugs were like this big or something. The bugs were eating the rats. It was backwards out there. Yeah. Yeah, Bear Grylls would be so proud of you. That's awesome. All right. Oh, yeah, Zach.
I was camping once, and me and my parents, we were sitting around a fire, and it was, like, high winds like that. And my mom was sitting in a chair. She gets up out of, like, this lawn chair, and the wind throws it into the fire.
Big fire! All right, all right. Sure it was the wind, Zach. Dave, wow, we get lots of sweet stories. Teen missions. Yeah, that could be a rough camping trip.
Okay, so
boot camp.
So for 2 weeks, you know, I went to teen missions for the boot camp. And for PC, it's like a punishment thing. They call it
politically correct.
I've been there so long, it's kind of repressed memories. Anyway,
yes, you learned a lot in boot camp.
There was like a punishment thing, and they told us to go chop down some trees.
All right.
And they were like, this is Brazilian pepper trees. Some people are allergic, so you should cut it down. Guess who was allergic to it?
Oh, the cutter.
I got it all over my face, so for 2 weeks I was covered in scab and stuff.
Oh.
I was a zombie.
Oh. Still thought you were a zombie. Okay, funny. Hope. That's awesome. Whack! Hello! Yeah.
Okay. I went camping and I didn't put anything on top of the cooler, and raccoons
They threw carrots at you. The raccoons threw carrots at you. That's awesome. All right. Any more? Last one right here. PG.
He would make us chug our whole canteen of water, and then he
didn't let you use the restroom.
And then he also made us salt our water.
He was the worst person in the world.
Yeah. And then he made us, he made me, he left me behind one night.
And what?
That was lost. And so, in the woods, and I got back, and he got mad at me because he didn't do a accountability check, and then he tied me to my squad leader for the next day. We were tied together the whole day.
I feel so bad for you, dude. That's awesome. I went camping up in New Hampshire once. Anybody been to New Hampshire? It's really nice camping. We went. We were gonna go whitewater rafting on kayaks, but my mom's not really into it. It was me, my mom, my dad, and my sister. And so my mom's like, I'll drop y'all off over at the river. And the river was about 20 minutes away from our campsite. So we load up our big old German Shepherd in the car and all of us, and my mom drives us out there. She drops us off and we're all happy. We get our kayaks, we jump in the water and go. Well, Mama Bear has to go back to the campsite and do some stuff. So she throws the dog back in the car and they start driving back. Well, the roads through the mountains out there are just like, bleh, bleh. So puppy dog didn't like it, and it's a big dog, and he was like, bleh, bleh. So he decided that he would throw up all over her Ford Explorer, okay? Like everywhere on the way back. And have you ever heard a dog vomit? You know? It ain't pleasant. So she's listening to that and smelling that all the way back to the campsite for 20 minutes. This big old beast of a dog just going all the way back. She gets back to the campsite and she's all flustered, because you know how moms get when they're all like flustered and there's puke present. So they're like, ah! So she's freaking out. So she's like, all right, I'm going to take the dog, stick him in the camper. She takes him out, puts him in the camper. And then she goes to go back in, get in the car, and when she opens the car to clean it, she's like, oh, the door's locked. I must have left the keys in the camper. So she goes back to the camper. She sees the keys sitting inside on the table, and she goes to open the door. Oh, that door's locked too. So now she's locked out of the car and the camper. The dog's locked in the camper. We're stuck out 20 minutes away in a river with no one to pick us up. So mom's like, okay, I gotta figure this out. And so she's like MacGyver, you know, like James Bond or whatever. So she gets like, it was a pop-up. You know how pop-ups have that like clocky stuff? You can kind of like make a little hole through. So she decides she's gonna spread that as wide as she can and stick a stick through there and try to get the keys off the table. And so she's like working at it, and the dog freaks out. He starts like attacking the stick. He's like, rah, 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 rah. He's eating it. She's like, ah! She's like pulling it. Meanwhile, the neighbors next door, like, this crazy woman is, like, breaking into a trailer. So he's, like, checking her out, like, what are you doing over there, old lady? So she's, like, wrestling with the dog, finally gives up. So she goes back to the car, and she sees that because it stunk from the throw-up, she had rolled the windows down just a little bit to get some air. Well, she's like, I'll stick my hand through the window, go down in, unlock the car, and at least the car's open. Sticks it in, she's down, she's, like, wrestling with it. What happens when you bump a car that has an emergency like alert system on it is the alarm goes off. So she shakes it, alarm's going off, dog's like going nuts and ballistic inside the thing. My mom pulls her arm out and gets stuck in the window. So now mom's hanging like this because she's a short little lady, and she's like, ah, up on her tippy toes, stuck. Neighbor man is over like, what are you doing? You get the binoculars, like, honey, come here, look, this crazy lady, you know, like, what's going on? So my poor mom, he was a really nice guy. He came over, helped her out, and like eventually they got the keys and all this stuff. She gets in the car, drives all the way back up to pick us up, like, I don't know, 20, 30 minutes late. And when Mama Bear comes driving up in her car, she looks like Mama Bear. You know what I'm saying? Like, she has the mom look. You guys know what the mom look is?
Yes.
Yeah, you know the mom look. I bet you know the mom look. Well, when mom has that look, you don't say anything to mom. You just go, yes, ma'am, whatever. I don't care what you said. Yes, ma'am, I'm doing it. So we're all like, who's going to say hi? Like, who wants to die first? Pretty much, that's the question. So she rolls up. My dad, he bit the bullet for all of us. He walks up. He's like, hi, honey. How you doing? Is everything okay? She's like, everything's fine. You know, when mom says it like that, it don't really mean that everything's fine. He's like, you sure everything's okay? Oh, yeah, everything's fine. And you're like, oh, it's really bad now, you know? Eventually, she tells us, like, what happened and all. And you know what my dad says to her? He says this, well, that's what memories are made out of. You don't say that to Grumpy Mama Bear, who just wrestled with a dog puking on her all the way for 20 miles, okay? Not the brightest thing to say. Well, I bet all of you, we just heard a bunch of stories about like crazy stuff that's happened to us, and like things go wrong, and we have times in life where like, doesn't it seem like when things go bad in life, it's not just like one thing, it's like seven in a row, they all kind of like come at the same time? When it rains, it pours. Yeah, the old adage. Well, Peter's going to talk a little bit about this tonight, suffering and different things like that. So as we pick this topic up, keep that in mind. Open up to 1 Peter chapter 4 with me. We're going to finish chapter 4 tonight, and then we have one chapter left, and we're done with 1 Peter. We're in verse 12, if you get your Bibles. How many of you guys got your Bibles? Let me see them. Raise them up high. Oh, so few of you. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. And we're just going to finish this chapter up. All right, read with me. It says, "Dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial you're suffering, as though something strange were happening to you, but rejoice that you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when His glory is revealed. If you're insulted because of the name of Christ, you're blessed, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. If you suffer, it shouldn't be as a murderer or thief or any kind of criminal or even as a meddler. However, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. For it is time for judgment to begin with the family of God. And if it begins with us, what will the outcome be for those who don't obey the gospel of God? And if it's hard for the righteous to be saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? So then, those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good." Will you pray with me as we start this? God, as we approach a topic that sometimes can just seem so common, and at other times could seem so hard, Lord, I pray that if we need a slap in the face tonight, God, that you'd give it to us. If we need a wake-up call, that we'd get it. And that if it's just a tough topic for us, Lord, that you would just give us peace and teach us more about you. Lord, just give us the words you have for us tonight and let it be all you. We love you. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, so Peter's starting off in verse 12. And we know that he's starting a whole new kind of section here, because he gave us a doxology. Anybody know what the doxology is? Smart, smart word. Anybody? I know, it's a smarty pants word. You know what it is? Can anyone sing the doxology for us? It's not really the same thing. It kind of is, but, huh? Here's a hint. Somebody look at the end of verse 11. That's the doxology. What does Peter say there? The end of verse 11. Somebody with the Bible. Oh, or somebody there. Yeah, have you ever heard that before? To Him be the glory and the power forever and ever, amen. There it is right there. Okay, that's called the doxology, and it was very common for authors to end a part of their writing with that and then start something new by saying, "Dear so-and-so." And so that's exactly what he does. So we know he kind of ended that, and now he's going to come with a command for us, something that he really, really wants us to do to sum all this stuff up. And so here he goes in verse 12, and just like usual, he says, "Dear friends," that's y'all. Okay? Because he's talking to believers. If you're a believer, this can apply to you. So, "Dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial that you're suffering." Well, who's he talking to? You guys remember? Who are these people? What are they going through? Persecution. For what? For being Christians. So as they're being insulted and mocked, and people are not happy that there's people going around following this crazy man named Jesus that lived and stirred everything up, they're going through persecution for it. And so he's saying, don't be surprised at the painful trial you're suffering. This isn't something that should surprise you. The Creator of all the earth, He came to earth, became a man, and He Himself suffered some really bad trials, didn't He? And if you're following that same guy, shouldn't you also expect to go through some trials? Shouldn't you also expect that the world's going to hate you because they hated Him? Why are you surprised by it? And so he's saying, don't let this thing creep up on you here and say, boo, hey, you're a Christian. I think my whole life's going to be great because I accepted Jesus, so everything's going to be roses and perfect, because He never promised that to us. I think the biggest problem sometimes we have is that we have always been told our whole life that accepting Jesus means there's going to be a smile on your face for the rest of your life. That accepting Jesus means all your problems are going to be taken care of. That being a Christian means that everything's going to be great from now on because Jesus has it. And the Bible never, never promises that your life is going to be perfect because you accepted Christ. The Bible promises that there will be suffering and pain and trials just like everybody else goes through. But yours will be worse because you're following someone they're going to pick out of a crowd and say, "Why do you believe in that God? You're an idiot." That's what's promised to us in this life. That's not where this amazing promise that we do have comes into play. There is hope in this life through all of that. But our promise, it's not contained in these walls of this physical world we live in. Our promise is so much bigger, it can't be contained in this life. And yet we're so focused on everything here because it's all we know. And so Peter's attacking it from that perspective and he's saying, "Why are you surprised? You thought everything was going to just be roses, but you know what? The truth is that you're going to have to suffer. Just like he suffered." And look what else he says. "Don't be surprised at the painful trial you're suffering as though something strange were happening to you." Like, ooh, what's that? That's so foreign to me. I'm a Christian. This shouldn't happen to me. I believe in Jesus. Why do I have to go through this? Have you ever asked yourself that question or heard yourselves like saying that to God? I'm pretty sure you have, because I can name time after time in my own life where something happened to me and I remember praying to God like, "How could you let this happen to me? Like, I love you. I study the Bible. I go to church. I do this. How could this happen to me?" There's so many people out there that do all this stuff. Let it happen to them. Why is this happening to me, God? And I can tell you over and over times where I've said those words to the God of all creation and questioned him and said, "Why me?" And I'm surprised, like, I don't deserve to go through suffering. That was never the promise. I'm sorry to tell you, that was never the promise. But the good news is that the promise is way, way better than that. And Peter's going to talk about that in just a second. Have you ever, before we go on, I don't want you to think that we should have this whole negative view of life, because I know at this point it gets heavy, and all you guys are going to leave and be like, "Well, Jones said we're going to be miserable, so whatever, you know, like, oh, this stinks." So, I don't know if you've ever like met people like that who you're like, "Hey, how you doing today?" And they're like, "My dog has diarrhea," and and they just like, you know, like they have the whole list ready for you of like miserable things that are going on in their life. "What, your dog has never had diarrhea before? Come on, you know it has." Maybe you recognize people like this, all right? Check this video out. You guys will know it once you see it, but this is how I picture some Christians.
"Good morning. Welcome to the Mickey's Breakfast Jamboree. My name is William, and I'll be serving you today. You guys here on a special occasion?"
"Well, we're here on that new Magical Gatherings family package. Got the whole Matusik clan down from Ohio, right, guys? Say hi."
"Hi!"
"Well, great. Let me tell you Mickey's specials today. We've got steak and eggs served with some home fries and Mickey waffles."
"Woo! I love me some steak and eggs."
"Ever since they found mad cow disease in the U.S., I'm not taking any chances. It can live in your body for years before it ravages your brain."
"You're enjoying your day, everything's going your way, then along comes Debbie Downer. Always there to tell you about a new disease, a car accident, or killer bees. We beg her to spare you, Debbie, please, but you can't stop Debbie Downer."
"We get it, gang. We pull it off. A family reunion at Disney. I don't know about you guys, but first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to ride that haunted elevator thingy. It drops you straight down."
"This is my dream come true. I mean, I'm totally serious. Tigger hugged me at the door and I thought I was going to cry."
"I guess Roy isn't doing as well as they first thought." "What? Who's Roy?" "Roy of Siegfried and Roy. He was attacked by his own tiger and suffered devastating injuries."
"So, hey, who wants to go on Space Mountain with me?"
"Me!"
"Oh, yeah.
I want to see the
Country Bear Jamboree. Ooh. I want to go to every country in Epcot and greet them in their own native language. Hola, konnichiwa, hi.
Did you guys hear about that train explosion in North Korea? Media is so sensitive there, so secretive. We may never know how many people perished.
So I guess it's safe to say that Peter's not telling you, hey, by not being surprised that stuff's going to happen to you, he's not saying take this morbid view of life where you're going to walk around depressed and be like this Debbie Downer that goes around and everything in life is just miserable because I'm suffering for Jesus. And so when you ask someone, like, how you doing? They're like, well, my friends all made fun of me today for Christ, you know? And like everything that they tell you is just like, oh. He's not saying that, okay, by any means. So don't get the wrong impression of what Peter's trying to get across here. Look at the next verse, what he says. Verse 13. On the contrary, he says this, but rejoice that you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed with his when his glory is revealed. This, as I read this, almost makes no sense to me. How am I going to rejoice when I participate in suffering? How am I overjoyed? And that word overjoyed right there, literally, it describes the action of like jumping up and down and screaming at the top of your lungs because you can't contain this like crazy joy. It's that, it's not just like, yay, oh, that's cool. It's like, ah, I can't contain it. Like you go nuts because you're so full of joy. At what? That the glory of Christ is revealed. Does anyone in here really, really, I need a real big smarty pants right now to tell me, what is this he's talking about when Christ's glory is revealed? What is he looking toward? The return of Christ. When his promise to us is fulfilled. And so as we go through life and we suffer for Christ and we have things happen to us and we have suffering and trials and pain, the reason why we're able to be ecstatic still and overjoyed still, and don't get me wrong, that doesn't mean we're not going to grieve and cry when our heart breaks. Because joy is different from happiness. Joy says that even though these things are happening to me, even though I'm suffering, and specifically here he's talking about when we're suffering for the name of Christ, for being Christians, he's saying that I'm still able to jump for joy and be ecstatic and not contain myself because I know that no matter what kind of stuff they bring to me, my promise is so much bigger than anything this world has to offer. My promise is eternal life with the God of all creation. And that Jesus Christ is better than anything on this earth. Here's the problem. A lot of us aren't convinced of that. And so we turn into a Debbie Downer. We turn into this person that looks at all these things in life. And the things of life mean so much to us, it's hard for us to be overjoyed. Because we don't find that joy in the biggest, greatest promise that we have. And eternal life is just kind of this thing that's way out there and it's kind of neat. And we hope we get it someday because we're scared not to. But it doesn't mean everything to us. This stuff here in our life means more still. And so we're able to just wallow in our own misery. And it's hard for us to comprehend, just like I told you, confess to you. It's hard sometimes for me to comprehend how this even makes sense, that when I'm suffering, I can rejoice and be ecstatic. It's because sometimes Rob Jones catches myself stuck in my own little box, and this stuff means so much more to me than this amazing promise that I have. That no matter what happens to me or my life or the people in my life, there is a promise bigger than all of it. There is a God bigger than all of it. And guess what? He has you in His hands. He loves you more than anything. If that doesn't make you ecstatic, man, you must be dead already. Like, I don't understand how that doesn't overjoy you. And so Peter says, no matter what you're going through, you should be able to rejoice. All right, so no Debbie Downers. Verse 14, he says this. If you're insulted because of the name of Christ, you're blessed. For the Spirit of God and of the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. So if I were to come up to Derek Sawyer and go, "Lucifer, Hey, that's a blessing, buddy. I'm blessing you by calling you a loser.
Thank you.
That make you feel very good, Derek?
Actually, it doesn't bother me at all.
It doesn't bother you at all. Well, it would hurt my feelings. I'd probably cry, Derek, if you called me a loser. But, yeah, poor Rob. So, that is almost what I'm hearing up there. And again, it doesn't make a lot of sense. How can you insult me and I call that a blessing? How do I feel blessed that someone wants to drag me out of my house and murder me in the road because I confessed the name of Jesus Christ or was having a Bible study in my house? How can I walk into somewhere in India or in China and tell them this verse? Count it a blessing that they want to knock your door down and arrest you and torture you. And here's the key, guys. The promise is so much bigger than this life. If you don't get that, you can't get any of these verses. You have to know a promise that means more to you than anything else you have in your life, anyone else in this life. That Jesus Christ really, truly does mean more to you than anything else. And these verses start to come into focus. Because now, as I suffer for the name of Jesus Christ, I can count that an honor that I fought hard for my King. And I love Him more than anything else. So these are trophies I can hand right back to Him and say, Jesus, this is for you. It was worth it because you're my promise. And as the world looks at you, remember we're talking about holiness? And as you become more like Christ, you become holy. And as you become holy, the world looks at you and says, wow, what's different about you? And a lot of the world isn't going to like that. And they're going to tear you up for it. And it says this right here, that they will see the Spirit of glory and of God resting on you. That's why you can be so blessed by this. Because as they insult your name, you know what they're really doing by saying, you're a Christian? Hey, I'm glad you noticed. You know, like, yes, that means I'm doing something right. The Holy Spirit's changing me. You can see the Spirit's effect in my life working out through me. That's a blessing. Insult me. Keep calling me Christian. Keep calling me goody two-shoes. Whatever you want, because you know what you're telling me? You're telling me this, that the Holy Spirit is doing something in me and I'm changing and you're noticing in me. And it's okay if you insult me. It's okay if you call me Holy Roller, because you know what? I love Jesus and I don't care. Yeah, no, that's an old one. That's an old one. I pulled that out of like, okay, anyway. You can Wikipedia it later. Look, it's kind of like this. If you're playing this, like, let's say girls, we have a lot of good girl volleyball players in this room. I'm looking around seeing them all. All right, let's say the girls are playing a volleyball game, right? And there's this chick on the other team that is like, she's carrying the entire team. She's like getting all the aces, she's serving, she's spiking, she's doing all this craziness. I don't know a lot about volleyball, but she's doing it all. And you're like, oh no. As you look at that team, who's the one girl that you're going to try to target the entire time? This probably doesn't work as an illustration because it's not a contact sport. Let's switch to football. Derek Sawyer. Derek Sawyer. You're on a field and you see one stud who keeps getting the ball and just running like 90-yard touchdowns over and over and over again, okay? Who are you going to target? Who are you going to hit the hardest? Him. Why him? Because you need to break his leg, right? Because you don't need him in the game. You don't need him in the game. If you can get... No, I'm just kidding. Hey, don't take that back to your coach's eye. Cut that from the reel. Okay. As the world looks at people who are living for Christ, they take notice the same way you would take notice at the other team and their amazing player. He stands out. He's distinguished from the rest of the team. As the world looks at you and they see this holiness being produced in you and the way you're living your life, and honestly, listen, there's a lot of us that still need that holiness. This message might really be over a lot of our heads because we're still working on this thing where I actually love Jesus and where He's actually making a change in me, because when my friends look at me, they know I'm going to go drinking with them and post stuff everywhere on my Facebook page. They know I'm going to go make out with whoever in a van somewhere. Why are you laughing? Okay, listen. You're laughing, but I'm talking to you. I'm talking about real life situations that happened in this group. I'm not talking about specific people I have in mind, but I know it happens. I have Facebook. I have ears. I hear you guys talk. I don't want to be in a church where we never confront sin. I don't want to be in a place that just talks about Jesus' love and then we never talk about the things that we're guilty of. You know that I love you guys? Or I wouldn't be here. As we talk about holiness, I feel responsible as your pastor to say some of us, we need to repent. We need to realize that what we do isn't cool. The way we bear the name of Jesus Christ that Peter's talking about here so seriously and yet we laugh. It's not funny. It's not funny that we can call ourselves Christians, bear the name of Christ who saved us, and still walk like the world. And still laugh about things that the world finds funny. It's not funny that we can go on mission trips and come back and live like garbage. And some of us, this message is way over our head because we're not even in the position yet where Christ is the most important. Where we're convinced that our life should be different so that people will actually persecute us. And some of us are sitting in the chair saying, I'm never persecuted. And the reason is because you're not living for Him. And so this message might not be for you. But there's time for you right now to talk to your God and say, I need to be in that position. I pray that for you. I pray that for you because I love you so much. I don't want to waste this. I don't want to waste coming here every Wednesday and not take the time to tell you that. Peter's taking the time and he's saying, if you really are living your life that way, people are looking at you and you're taking it for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And look what he says in this next verse. If you suffer, it shouldn't be as a murderer or thief or any other kind of criminal or even as a meddler. And what he's trying to get across here isn't that necessarily you're a murderer. But he's saying this, if you decide to live your life in a sinful way and make bad choices and live like garbage, you're going to suffer because sin destroys you. So don't you dare walk around and go, oh, woe is me, because look at all these bad things that are happening. Because you called them on yourself. Because you're living like garbage as these things up here. And so don't say, hey, I'm suffering for Jesus, when actually it's because you're living a lifestyle that has nothing to do with Christ, and it's destroying you. And look what he says next. However, if you suffer as a Christian... Now, first of all, you need to understand what this word Christian is, because for us, it's some like sacred holy word that describes people who like believe in Christ. It's taken on a whole new meaning today. Back then, this word was just coming on the scene. Okay, Christian was just being started to being used at this time. And what was happening was the same way if you followed like King Herod, they call you a Herodian. Okay, if you followed this guy named Christ who came and stirred things up and made everybody mad, they called you a Christian because you followed Christ. And it was almost a negative word. Not completely, but it had a negative tone to it. Because they're like this crazy man, Christ. Oh yeah, he's a Christian, he follows Christ. And it got that like slang term where they would almost use it as a negative term to people who followed after Jesus. Peter's saying here, if you suffer as a Christian, he probably put it in quotes. Christian, because they're pointing you out. Do not be ashamed. But praise God that you bear that name. I don't know how many of you are like me, but in high school, I had times where I didn't want people to know that I was a Christian. It was embarrassing. In a public school, sitting at the lunch table, and people start talking about stuff, and you want to speak up, and you want to be like, no, that's not right. But you know that if you say one thing, they're going to be all over you. Or you're sitting in a class, and he's talking about evolution, and he's trying to teach it, and you want to raise your hand so bad and be like, that makes no sense because we know that there's a God. You're not going to do it because you're like, he'll eat me up, man. I don't want him to know I'm a Christian because I know he'll call on me and he'll... And so we want to hide. Peter's saying, if you suffer for this being a Christian, you should praise God for it, not be ashamed. And you know why? Because you bear the name of Christ. And look what he says next. It's time for judgment to begin. And look who it's going to start with. It will begin with the family of God. Well, here's the beautiful part. We will all be judged, every last human being who's ever lived. But the beautiful part is that that name that sometimes we're so ashamed of is the very name that will save you. That name that you hide on judgment day when the God of all creation looks down at you, you're not going to be hiding that little name tag that says Christian. You're not going to be hiding your faith. You're going to be like, no, I believe in Jesus. Let me be with you forever. Don't cast me into hell. I have Christ. And we're going to be so proud of it at that point when we're facing judgment, looking before the God of all creation, we'll be like, I'm a Christian. Then why do we live our lives trying to hide from everyone? Why are we so ashamed of the name that saves us? Peter says, don't you dare hide it. That name is what frees you from judgment. And look what he says happens if you don't have that name. What will be the outcome for those who don't obey the gospel of God? Not very good. That's not a good place to be. And if there's anything I pray for you, it's that you become so aware of how much His name means in your life. That if you truly, and I'm talking to Christians right now, if you truly do say you love Christ, that you love Him so much, there's no gray area in your life. That you're tired of hiding it from people, you're tired of living like the world so nobody knows you're actually a Christian, you are ready to actually stand up and say, Christ, I love you more than anything, let any trial or suffering come, circumstances don't decide how much I love you, you are God, I love you. Period. Look at verse 19. He closes with this. He says, so then, those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good. Let me remind you, a second ago I just told you guys how often I would look up to God and just be like, why me? And I know there's people in the room that can relate to that. At those times when things are going wrong, it's really, really hard to keep your faith in Christ. When your heart is just absolutely broken, it's hard to look up and say, I believe you. I trust you. I'm not denying that. But we do have a promise. And I guarantee you the only way through that pain that you're feeling is by holding on to this promise and saying that my faithful Creator, who knit every molecule of my body together, is strong enough to even take me through this hard time right now. And I'm gonna cling on to Him. Because He's faithful. Whatever trial comes, whatever the world throws at me, He's faithful. And I have a promise that's bigger than this world. It's forever. And it can't be broken. And look what he tells us to do at the very last line there. He says, and continue to do good. Don't give up the fight. Don't give up living for Christ. Let whatever come, just come. And you keep clinging on to His promise. Will you pray with me? Christ Jesus, thank you. Thank you for a gift I still cannot comprehend. Thank you for a gift that is beyond my brain. I can't wrap my head around you or what you've done for me, and I can't even begin to think about it. And I'm so ungrateful for it. Thank you that you love me. Christ, I pray for these students. Lord, you know the heartache that is in this room. You know the pain and the lives that are laid out before you right here. And Christ, I ask that you be in every situation and that you show your faithfulness. That you teach us just how good you are. We love you so much. It's in your precious name we pray. Amen.